But now let's get to the main event. What did we learn at Pluto? So I want to start with this image. And what we did here is we took images from New Horizons, and we, in the computer, we exaggerated the color so that it's easier for you to see what's red versus what's yellow or golden and what's bright white or other colors, even blue. And then we wrapped those images on a sphere so that it gave you the appearance as if you were an astronaut standing on a spacecraft in orbit around Pluto, what it really looks like. And then in the upper right, there's a little box that's a true color image of Pluto with an inset green box. And you'll see this on most of the images I'm going to show you. Look in the upper right, and it shows you where on the encounter hemisphere the close-up is. So the close-up in this case is right over that heart-shaped region, mostly over the western lobe, the left side of the heart. That big bright glacier that you see there in the main image is the western lobe of the heart on Pluto. And it is a gargantuan nitrogen glacier. It's made of molecular nitrogen that's a snow on Pluto's surface. From the northernmost part at the top to the southernmost part at the bottom, it's 1,200 kilometers. There are about 1 million square kilometers of terrain on that glacier. It's the largest glacier in the solar system. And it's the most prominent feature on the surface of Pluto that we flew by. It's surrounded by mountain ranges. You can see them there. Some of them have a lot of red material and others have other colors. But those mountain ranges stand 4 to 5 kilometers above the glacial plain. We think, because of the mountain ranges, that looks like a classic impact basin, where something the size of an asteroid smacked into Pluto and excavated this big million square kilometer hole in the ground. And then that became a cold trap to snows of nitrogen. It just filled up that basin and made that glacier over time. Here's a close-up down on the glacier. See the little green box in the context image? We're right up at the northwest corner where the glacier abuts these mountains. And now you're seeing a close-up. This is a black and white image made by our high-resolution imager called LORI. And one of the most interesting things about images like this is that we can see that the glacier is moving. We can see flow patterns, which you see those arrows helping you pick them out. As the glacier abuts the mountains and it runs into an obstacle, the ice has to flow around the obstacles, like those islands that are sticking up. The mountains that you see are made of water ice, and we know that because we can spectrally fingerprint it with our Ralph infrared spectrometer that Michael mentioned. So this glacier is alive, geologically alive. Please don't tweet that it's alive, alive. Because NASA headquarters will call my cell phone in the morning, and I'll never hear the end of it. Okay, it's geologically alive. But this is a world whose surface is only 40 degrees centigrade above absolute zero. No one would have predicted that when we looked at Pluto's surface that we would see evidence of surface motions in real time. Here's another example. This is a topographic map made from stereo imaging that we did so that we could get a digital elevation model of the surface. To the right in this image are those mountain ranges, 4 to 5 kilometers high. And here we are in the northeast portion of that western lobe. And you see this big circular pattern right here with the red arrows? What that is nitrogen ice that flowed down that chute where the square is and poured down thousands of meters, recharging the glacier. So we've got a system where the mountain ranges resupply the glacier, and in other places we can see where the glacial ice is subducting under the mountains 1,000 kilometers away. So there's a hydrological cycle taking place on Pluto, just like on the Earth, but it's not a water ice cycle, it's a nitrogen ice cycle. Here's a close-up down on the glacier. The first thing you should notice is there are no craters there. So it hasn't been out in the rain very long. This feature, 1 million square kilometers, was born yesterday, geologically. It's less than 30 million years old, less than 1% of Pluto's age. Somehow, this little planet that should have cooled off over billions of years has still got an internal engine that's making vast terrains, and nobody predicted this. It's really rewriting the textbooks of planetary geophysics. And if you look more closely, not only do you see that there are no craters, we can't find one on the whole thing, and this is just a subset of it. But do you notice those ovoid patterns? We call them cellular patterns in the ice. It's the same kind of pattern you get in water if you put a little oil on it so you can see it, and you turn up the heat on your stove and turn it into a boil. It's called convection. And what it means is that this glacier is overturning. Each of those cells is like a bubble that's coming up, like a cumulus cloud in a way, but made of ice. And it means there's a heat source below the glacier. And we're not sure if it's radioactive decay of materials or if it's due to the freezing of an ocean inside that's releasing latent heat energy or something else. But not only is the glacier flowing horizontally and avalanches are coming down out of the mountains and it's subducting under other mountain ranges, but on top of it, it's in a slow motion boil. It's completely alive. This planet is as active as the Earth or Mars, even though it's at nearly absolute zero. It's turning out to be a complete scientific wonderland. Something for everyone. Let's go on. I love this picture because not only can you see Pluto's atmosphere above the surface, these are hazes, and you can see the light scattering in those haze layers, but you can see how rugged the surface is and how much terrain variation there is. Right against the edge of the big glacier, there are very, very heavily cratered terrains that are very old, sitting right next to other terrains that are very new. The glacier has no craters. This place is just about beat to death with craters. We age dated it 4 billion years old, and it's right next to something brand new. It's one of my favorite pictures, but not my very favorite. I'll show you that later. I like this because, you know, I live in Colorado, and we have these beautiful mountain ranges called the Rockies. And from my house, almost every day, I enjoy looking to the west and seeing mountains that are just about the same size. They're a few kilometers above the plain. They stretch for hundreds of kilometers, and they have bright snow caps all across the range. It's fantastic to look at. And here we went all the way out to the Kuiper Belt, 3 billion miles away, and we found mountains with snow caps. Except those bright snow caps aren't water ice. That's natural gas, methane, that's condensed on the tops of those mountains from Pluto's atmosphere. Fortunately, there's no oxygen in Pluto's atmosphere, so you don't have to worry about lighting a match, because the whole place would go up if there was oxygen, go up in flames. But there isn't any. Here's another weird thing. Pluto's got ice volcanoes, and they're massive. We found 7 of these things. This is the largest of them. We call it Wright Mons. That's an informal name, named after the Wright brothers. We've been naming a lot of things on the surface of Pluto for explorers, people who explored different terrains on the Earth or space missions that came before us that we're exploring. So Wright Mons, which is a giant volcanic caldera about the size of Mauna Loa in Hawaii, is probably the easiest of these to see as a volcanic construct. It's about 4 kilometers high. The caldera, the hole in the middle, goes down almost to the plain below it. When we look on the flanks of the volcano, we can only find 1 crater, which means it's also young. This whole thing was created recently, and so were its kin. On the other ones, we don't find many craters either. They're all in the same area, like a volcanic district on Pluto. It's amazing how many different kinds of things. There are canyon systems and glaciers and craters and tectonic belts and volcanoes. And then look at what's next. Looks like a frozen lake. It's about 30 kilometers across the long axis of that. We have stereo imaging that shows us it's in the bottom of a valley in these mountains that surround it. There's a shoreline running around the edge of that lake. But that can't be, because in Pluto's current state, there's not enough atmospheric pressure to allow liquids to flow or even to stand. In other words, for those of you who have a more technical background, we can't get to the triple point in the phase diagram. You needed a much higher pressure atmosphere in the past. This is circumstantial evidence that Pluto used to have a much thicker atmosphere. And we find other evidence of that too. We find places that look like river valleys on the surface of Pluto, tributaries even. So there's just a scientific wonderland here. And frankly, it begs for going back with an orbiter and studying it in more detail. And I think we'll do that. I want to end the Pluto portion of this talk and then go in the final phase with this video. This is some of our highest resolution imagery. And we need to start this one, I guess. You'll see a rectangle appear. And that's a strip of terrain that we're going to fly over using New Horizons images as if you were in an airplane flying at high speed over the surface of Pluto from the top near the North Pole all the way down onto the glacier. So we start, and you can see this is very snowy, very heavily mantled terrains with craters on it. When you look inside the craters, you can see layers in the subsurface, and you can see those linear tracks that look like dust devil tracks. And then we move up onto some badlands, and then eventually some big mountain ranges, the ones that abut the glacier. Those individual mountain blocks are 10 to 30 kilometers across. And now here we get across the glacier. If you look closely, you can see dune fields, more evidence of a past thicker atmosphere. And then we see islands sticking up those dark mounds. It's just an amazing place. And even for those of us who 15 and 20 years ago were arguing to the National Academy how much we would learn, we had no idea how much this has actually taught us about the evolution of small worlds and how we really didn't understand that small planets could be as fascinating and as active and as complex as planets like Mars and the Earth. And now we know that.